Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
All right, I want to go right into this word. I am so excited about this word that I had actually at the beginning of the year, not developed, but the word. At the beginning of the year, I was asking God for one word that He wanted me to really grab a hold of for this year. And a word came to me, and it just shocked me because it wasn't anything that I had in my mind or I had been thinking of. And that one word that came to me from the Lord was this word right here, abundance. Abundance. And today I want to talk to you about an abundant mindset. Because God has been working with me graciously, kind and gentle, and showing me things that I just wasn't getting, I wasn't seeing. And I think that if you might be kind of like me in some respects, and sometimes it takes us a little while to get it. I wondered about abundance. And so that's the only word He said. He didn't say abundant mindset. He just said abundance. And I wondered about it. I thought, well, what does that mean, God? You know, okay, does it, you know, hey, abundant money. Hey, I'm all for that. I'm ready. I've been waiting. That's wonderful. Abundant church growth. I'm waiting for that, God. That'd be great. That'd be wonderful. I wondered about that. If you ever get the Lord or believe you get a word from God that you don't understand, like one word, and that's all He says, it's because He wants to take you deeper into understanding what He's talking about. He just gives you one word or something. He says something that you don't understand. He wants you and Him to get closer together so He can mentor you, train you, and teach you exactly what He's talking about through a relationship. And so He's going to take us deeper today. And so I looked up the definition for abundance. There's many of them, but just kind of a short and condensed version is a large quantity of something. More than enough. Not just enough, but a large quantity of it. And then I thought about the word abundant life. You know, Jesus said He came to give us abundant life. And I thought about possibly what does that actually mean? And I believe the Lord was showing me it means to be overwhelmed with the abundance of the grace and the goodness and the kindness and the love of God that He shows you day after day after day, year after year. I mean, be overwhelmed by it. Abundant, a large quantity, more than enough. So abundant life is that. So I ask myself, well, am I enjoying the abundant life? And I had to confess, no. Now, don't run out the door because you say, well, you're the preacher of all people. You should have abundant life. I know. But I'm just like you. I'm learning. But at least, thank God, I found out before it's too late. I had suspicions that I wasn't enjoying abundant life. But it became abundantly clear when God gave me this word abundance. Now, I want to say something to you, and I want you to really think about this. In our life right now, we are either being overwhelmed by the thoughts of the enemy, which is overwhelmed with negativity and dread, and then it manifests on out with, you know, depression or discouragement or a poor attitude or whatever. We're either being overwhelmed by the enemy or we're either being overwhelmed by God. There's only one or the other. The Scripture says, now this is Satan's deception. This is a deception now. The Scripture says, when the enemy comes in like a flood. It's not a flood, but it sure looks like one. It's not hell, but it sure feels like it. It's not really that bad, but it feels worse than it looks. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, that's the deception. He comes in like a flood is a deception. It's not a flood, but it sure feels like it. It looks like it. Now, you got to be careful that you don't talk into that. Even this morning, I had a friend text me and say he was coming to church today, but he couldn't at the last minute because something happened to his car and he couldn't make it. And then he said these words in his text. He said, "The devil sure is strong." And I texted him back. I said, "Don't give him any credit, because he likes that." Because the enemy comes in like a flood. Don't agree with him and say, "This is a flood." He comes in to overwhelm you. Don't agree with him and don't confess, "I'm overwhelmed." He likes that. You're giving him credit. You're empowering him. Are you understanding? I don't know if you saw the movie Shaq or not, but I love it. I think it's a great movie. I like so much symbolism in it and everything. There's one particular part in it that I like especially, that Mac is the main character. He's in a boat and he's out in the water. And if you've seen it, you'll get this picture in your mind. He's out in the water and he's all by himself in the boat. And all of a sudden he has a bad memory of his little girl who's kidnapped and killed. And he looks down in the water and he thinks he sees his daughter there crying out for him, "Daddy, help me, Daddy, help me." And he panics and he reaches into the water to save her because it looks so real. And he pulls his hand up and there's nothing but black tar all over it. And he starts to have a panic attack. And he's wondering what's happening to him. And the boat starts shaking. And then the bottom of the boat starts breaking up. And some of this black sludge starts coming into the boat. He's wondering what in the world is going on. And he's panicking. He's about to lose it. And all of a sudden, the voice of Jesus right over here says, Mac, listen to me. Look at me. It's not real, Mac. It's not real. Look at me, Mac. Look at me. Don't give in to that. Look at me, Mac. And he finally has enough in him to look over and he sees Jesus on the water walking to him. And he says to him, Jesus says to him, "Mac, keep your eyes on me. It's not real, Mac." I'm telling you, the enemy's coming at you like a flood. You may be suffering with panic attacks in the middle of the night. I'm trying to tell you, it's not real. It's not real. It may feel real. It may look real. It's not real. Get your eyes on Jesus. Call out to Jesus. Things that are happening to us. God says he wants us to have an abundance. What is that? We're going to find out. I'm telling you, we're either overwhelmed by the enemy's deceptions or we're overwhelmed by the abundance of God. And you stand in the middle and get to make a choice. I'm either going to be overwhelmed with the goodness of God and begin to give God thanks and praise even when I go through trials, even when I go through difficulties, even when my truck isn't working, even when I don't know how I'm going to do this. I begin to give God praise and thanks because I know the enemy's coming at me like a flood. Is anybody listening? I think God has been, well, I should say, I know God's been wanting me to focus on this word abundance since the beginning of the year. He's wanted me to focus on it, and I think he wants you to focus on it because we've been focusing on the enemy's deceptions too much. And we're getting overwhelmed, and we're getting discouraged. And it's been a long time, and we haven't had the breakthrough, and we haven't seen the victory. And when your life comes under pressure, everybody say pressure. When you're under pressure, oppression from the enemy for a long time, and it's been a long time since you've had any breakthrough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And by now you're saying, you know, we should have been through this. We should have been healed by now. We should have seen the manifestation by now. That relationship should have been restored by now. I should have been provided for by now. And you're getting these feelings, and overwhelming feelings are starting to come around you. You may be playing the same old records in your mind. Nothing's changing. It's not going to get any better. My best days are behind me. I'll never get my house paid off. I'm never going to get out of debt. I don't see any way out of this. Things are never going to change. Anybody played those records over and over in your mind? Have you heard those things? I mean, they just come to you. You're not intentionally trying to do it. They're just there. It's oppression. My friend Quentin, are you here, Quentin, today? Where are you at? Why are you over in the dark? Are you trying to hide from me? Quentin has been a friend to me, a dear friend to me, for over 20-something years. I mean, he's been just a faithful, dear friend. And he's bought me more lunches than anybody I have ever. He probably bought me $1 million worth of lunches. I don't know if that meant. But I owe him a great debt of gratitude. And one day he said to me in lunch, not too long ago, he said to me, sitting across from me, he said, Pastor, God wants to bless you. And I said, well, yeah, I believe that I'm blessed. No, he said, no, you don't get it. He said, God wants to bless you more than you're willing to really believe or accept. And it kind of stunned me. And I started thinking about it. And he said, God wants to bless you in every way. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless your finances. He wants to bless the church to grow. He said, God has set you here in this church even to bless you. Amen. And I mean, what can you say to that? I go, okay, all right. And then I said something really dumb. I said, well, what's keeping him from doing it? And then he said, this is what Quentin said. Then Quentin said, you are. Don't encourage him. He already knows that he's getting it. I didn't like what I heard. He said, you are. You are your worst enemy. You are keeping God from blessing you the way abundantly he wants to bless you. Well, that's the kind of thing you got to ponder. So I just tucked it in my pocket and been pondering it. And this week, God brought that back up to me again. And Quentin told me, he said, what I had to do. He told me very clearly. He said, what you've got to do is you've got to change your mindset. You've got to change the way you think. You think that, you know, the God wants it, but God wants to do much, much more in your life. He wants to bless you. And you've got to change the way you think, because the way you're thinking is hindering God from being able to do what he wants to do. And this week, God confirmed that. Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you all the ways. I'm going to tell you some. I saw something this week in Mark chapter 8. And I was going to tell you about it, okay? You can look it up later. You can read beginning of Mark 8 and meditate on this later. But this really stunned me. Jesus had a three-day meeting. And there are people that came and they camped out and they stayed in this area out in the open when Jesus preached for three days, three-day meeting. And people came. There was at least 4,000 men. And Jesus, you know, at the end of the meeting, it's time to send everybody away. And Jesus says, you know, I have compassion on everybody here. Let's feed them. And the disciples said, well, we only have 7 loaves of bread. And he says, well, bring them to me. And Jesus blessed the bread. You know the story. And he fed over 4,000 men, probably total men, women, children, might have been 8,000, 12,000 people. We don't know, with 7 loaves of bread. Now, this is different from him feeding the 5,000. This is a different time. So Jesus fed everybody with, this is a miracle. Everybody say a miracle. Would that be a miracle to you? 4,000 people and everybody, and they had I forget how many different basketfuls left over. So there was abundance. There was more than enough. Everybody say abundance. More than enough. Yeah, Okay. You got the idea. Okay, meeting's over. Miracle has been done. Disciples saw it again, like, whoa. And Jesus said, now we got to go off and go do some more ministry. And before he's leaving, some Pharisees come up to him and said, Jesus, we would like a sign. Show us a sign and we'll believe. Show us a sign that you're who you are and we'll believe. And Jesus said, you ain't going to get one. In other words, you had one, but you didn't even see it. You had one, but you didn't. Okay, hang on. Now, after that, Jesus and his disciples get in the boat. It's kind of comical. They get in the boat, and they're going over the side. And all of a sudden, while everything's kind of quiet, everybody's just kind of taking in, wow, the day, what they saw. And all of a sudden, Jesus stands up and says, beware of the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees. That's all he says. He does that a lot. He'll say something, and you go, whoa, what does that mean? And then the disciples are talking among themselves, the yeast, is he saying that, you know, we didn't bring enough bread with us? Who's got bread? Anybody got bread? Did you bring the bread? Who'd you bring? I brought my loaf, said James. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I bought a loaf of bread. And he said, well, how didn't you bring some for everybody else? I don't know. Why didn't you bring it? And they're arguing back and forth. And Jesus hears him and says, what are you doing? Don't you perceive? You see, but you don't see. You hear, but you don't hear. And he didn't explain it. They're thinking he's kind of getting on to them because they didn't bring any bread. That's not what he's talking about. And then he gets off the boat and he's in a different place. Now listen, watch this. Some people bring to him a blind man. Everybody say a blind man. Can't see. Bring a blind man to Jesus. Jesus takes this opportunity to make it a teachable object lesson for them and for you and me. He takes the blind man by hand and takes him out of town, out of his familiar area. He's blind. And he takes him, and then he gets some mud, spits on it, puts it on his eyes, takes his hands away, and he says to us, what do you see? And the man was honest. He said, well, I can see, but I see men as trees. In other words, I can see, but I don't see clearly. I can see. I'm not blind. Praise God, I'm not blind, but I don't see clearly. Men are like trees. Now, let me ask you something, because it's been many times wrongly interpreted about Scripture. I've heard so many sermons about this. Preachers will say, well, see, even Jesus had to give the man a second touch. No, he didn't. Are you crazy? Are you saying the one who created the eyeball had to do, well, I just had enough power to give him halfway, 50%, so now I got to go back and finish the job. No. That's stupid with a capital S. You're talking about God Almighty, and he didn't have the power to heal. He did it on purpose. He did it intentionally. He's talking to all of us. He was talking to his disciples. He's giving them an object lesson. You're like this. Here's a man that was blind. He can see, but he can't see clearly. Oh, yeah, we're saved. We know God. But we still see men as trees. We don't really understand what God's doing. We don't really see what he's doing clearly. We can see, but we can't see clearly. We're in transition. And then Jesus touched him and brought all of his sight back. Why didn't he do that the first time? He had the power. He did it intentionally. Because he's teaching all of us, the disciples included, and put it in the Bible for us to read today so that all of us could see we're just like those disciples. Man, we just saw a miracle. but we don't understand what God's doing. We see, but we see men as trees. We're not blind, but we're not seeing clearly what God's doing. We're not seeing clearly what God wants to show us. We're not seeing clearly what God wants to show you. I'm not seeing clearly. You're not seeing clearly what God has been showing us. We see men as trees. We have life. Praise God, we're born again. But we don't have abundant life. Come on, be honest. You ain't going to get help with God until you start being honest. I have life, but I don't have abundant life. More than enough. Overwhelmed with the glory, the goodness of God. I've had my little moments here and there, but overwhelmed overall, no. We have life, but we don't have abundant life. We're blessed, but we don't have abundance. And then a friend of mine showed me Psalm 23 in a way that just a little bit different to me. It speaks of abundance. It goes right along with this. I want you to see this. Psalm 23 talking to us, and we're confessing. The Lord is my shepherd. That's an abundant relationship. Abundant relationship. I mean, Adam and Eve had God in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. Wow, that had to be incredible. But you and I have a much more abundant relationship with God, better than Adam and Eve. About three of you believe it. I shall not want abundant provision. Abundant provision available. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Abundant rest. I don't have to panic. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be overwhelmed when the enemy comes in like a flood, because he makes me lie down in green pastures even when the hurricane comes. He leads me beside still waters. It's refreshment. I can come and be refreshed in his presence anytime I want to, 24/7. I don't even have to make an appointment. He restores my soul, abundance and healing. He leads me in paths of righteousness, abundant guidance. I'm not here without guidance. For his name's sake, that means my life has purpose. There's a path he has for me. There are people that God wants me to meet and speak to, and he wants them to speak to me. There's a path. Their steps are ordained. I'm going to be in the right place at the right time because he is my shepherd. There's a path for me. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yeah, there's testing. But that just builds me. That just makes me stronger. It just proves to me that God is better than I thought he was. I'll fear no evil. Abundance, protection. Shouldn't some of you be shouting right now that you should have been dead by now? You've had abundant protection. If it had not been for God, you wouldn't be here. Abundant faithfulness, because God's with me. Your rod and staff of comfort. Abundant discipline, correction. The Holy Spirit and the words always giving me guidance and direction. You prepare me a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Abundant hope. Abundant anointing. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Abundance, everything. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Abundant blessing. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's abundant security. Hallelujah. I'll never go to hell. I'll never be in hell. Hallelujah. And forever, eternity. It never ends. See, we're not overwhelmed by abundance. So we're not living the abundant life. Like the blind man, you better be honest. Otherwise, you won't get the second touch. We got to be honest. No, I don't have abundant life. I have it available, but I've not been enjoying it. Why? Because of me. Point your finger at yourself and say, you know what? You have been my problem, and today I'm going to straighten you out. Abundance means the ability to prosper in any situation. The ability to succeed in any situation. And what does it mean to prosper and succeed? It means to fulfill the assignment that God has on your life. You say, what is that? It's a multitude of things. But number one is discovering how great God is, and he's your helper, and he's your strength. One of the names for God is El Shaddai. I mean, the God of more than enough. He's the overwhelming God, the abundant God. Look at this scripture in Psalm 35. And notice, 1, 2, 3, the first four words especially are in bold for you to see. God's talking about his people. God is saying this is what his people need to be continually saying. Robert, you're supposed to be continually saying, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. I have the favor of God on my life. I don't know how he's going to get me out of this situation. That's none of my concern. I just rejoice in his prosperity. When you start talking like that, rather than talking like, you know, the devil's in control of your life and you don't know what you're going to do because you're being overwhelmed by a flood, then you start magnifying God. Now listen, you can't magnify God and make God bigger than he is. This magnification is on our end. We start seeing God as bigger than our problem. We start seeing God as bigger and better than we thought he was. We magnify God with our words. You either have an abundant God and you're talking about an abundant God, or you have an abundant devil and you're talking about an abundant devil. You're magnifying somebody. Note, this is the people of God. This is what the people of God are supposed to go around saying with their mouth. They're saying, God takes pleasure in prospering me. I do believe in a God of abundance. I believe God wants to prosper me. I do believe God wants to give me abundant health. He wants to give me abundant help in finances. He wants to give me abundant help in my relationships. He wants my church to grow. He wants my family to be blessed. He wants me to be blessed coming in and going out. He wants me to be blessed more than I know how to even ask him how to be blessed. I mean, see, this here in me anyway, you maybe already have it, I don't know, but me, this has got to change. No, you cannot continue to think the way you're thinking, Gary, and expect God's abundance to come in your life. It ain't going to happen. If you're not going to be honest, then just go on home and play church. If you're not going to be honest and just put a big fake phony smile on your face and tell everybody you're enjoying abundant life when you're miserable, just go ahead. Now, God just wants us to be honest. And I said, boy, this week, he's cleaning me up and saying, well, what do you want to do? You want to fake it till you make it, or you want to be honest with it? Oh, no. There ain't no need to fake it, God. I need help. And he said, well, that's good. I'm glad you realize that. I'm your helper. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You're an abundant helper. I have abundant help. I have everything I need in you. Now, this particular scripture, I want to show you in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You're familiar with it. Let's read it out loud together. Now, to him all right, that was mediocre. Let's stand up now, because this is important. Come on, stand up with me for a moment. I want you to get this. If you don't get this, there's no need to be here. You've got to get this. You've got to get it. I've got to get this. It's a matter of life and death. I'm telling you, it's a matter of our destiny. It's a matter of our church's destiny. It's a matter of your personal destiny. Now, I know you know this part already. And I do too. Okay. Now, let's read it in unison together. I'll start you off. Follow along with me. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us. Now, say that last part again. Say that last part again in the highlights. According to the power that works in us. Now let's check your power. Check your power source. Wait a minute. What power has been working in me lately? Now, have I been overwhelmed with dread and overwhelmed with problems? Have I been negative and depressed and discouraged? And okay, then there's a power that's working in you that's not of God. Or have I been overwhelmed with the abundance of God? Whoa, I can't believe you blessed me again. Oh, God, I'm amazed at you. Have you been that way? I mean, come on, just be honest. Just be honest. I've been overwhelmed with the negative. That's got to stop. Because it's not real. It's not real. It's not real. I don't care what the doctor told you. It ain't real. He's just doing what he's supposed to do, but it's not real. I don't care what you nightmares you've been having in the middle of the night. It's not real. It's not real. Look at me. Look at me, Jesus. Look at me. Look at me. I came to give you. You're confessing what you're believing. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give you life. Go ahead and sit down. Now, either Jesus is a liar. Yeah, I want to see if that ought to rile your feathers. Somebody say, Jesus is a liar. Either Jesus lied or it's the truth. Somebody ought to want to fight for that one. Oh, no, no. Oh, no. Jesus is the truth. And everything he says is truth. He said he came to give us abundant life, and I'm going to receive it. And I'm not going to settle for anything less. So there's a power that's working in us right now, either working for God's purposes or it's working against God's purposes. Now, I'm a preacher. I should know better. But I got trapped in my mind. Because I don't see the breakthrough happen, and I don't see this happen. It's taken a long time, and how come this ain't happened by now? How come we ain't seen this happen? And why? You know how that goes? I have a feeling you probably on the same journey. That's probably why he made me your preacher. Because I'd be honest with you. Now, you need to be honest. Our mindset can be a hindrance to the abundance that God wants to give to us. Israel were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. That's a long time. Means your great, 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 whatever great grandparents were slaves. It's all you've ever known, a drudgery. Just scratching out a living, barely making, barely existing. And then one day, God brought them out of slavery through a deliverer. And he brought them out of Egypt and he put them into a desert. And he tells them, he talks to them, John, and he says, I'm going to lead you to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. I mean, you ain't ever seen anything like it. I'm going to lead you to a land that's flowing. Flowing means it never stops. It's always going. I'm going to lead you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to lead you to abundance. And they said, yippee! Well, God, I wish you could hurry up and do it. It's been 20 years. Well, your shoes didn't wear out. Well, no, but I don't want to wear the same shoes all the rest of my life. Your clothes ain't, well, no. 30 years. Lord, when are we going to see this land of milk and honey? Where are the promises of God? Where's the breakthrough? 40 years. Well, I guess it ain't going to happen. Problem Israel had is the problem we have. That's why it's in the Bible, to warn us. It's been 40 years, and it hasn't happened yet. I wish God would just bless us. We got to see ourselves here, that we're in that picture. I want to tell you about God. God is a God of abundance. And I mean extravagant. God's an extravagant God. I never realized that word until several years ago. Out of this church, I was fortunate enough, blessed enough to go on a mission trip to Honduras. We have some missionaries that we support down there through the church. So I went down to Honduras, and I took a group of people the second time down there, and we went to different orphanages. I preached in a prison, did a lot of different little things, and it was very nice, very eye opening, and ministering to the people in the very poor and even in the dumps and so forth. Very interesting. So I'm on the plane flying back now with our group. I'm sitting in the plane and in the chair, just sitting back and thinking, and just reviewing all the week that we saw, and like, wow. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, tell me one thing that you really liked out of this mission trip. Now I thought he'd say something. Well, you preached to the prisoners in prison, you ministered to the people in the dumps and all that. No, this is the thing he brought to my mind instantly. And I had totally not thought anything about it. We went to this one orphanage, and the missionaries go there regularly, and they teach a little Bible study for all the kids. There's probably about 100 kids there, and they have an open courtyard in the middle of the orphanage, and it's where the kids play and stuff, you know. And then after they get done, or maybe before, whatever, the missionaries, they put on some music with some loudspeakers, and kids dance around, and the workers, all of us, we play with the kids and things like that, you know. And then one particular song, they put on like a slow dancing song, but it was just a sweet song like that. And I looked over, and I saw a little 9-year-old girl, and she was just standing over there by herself. She wasn't playing like the other kids, and she wasn't dancing. She just didn't seem like she got involved. And I asked one of the workers, I said, what about that little girl over there? Tell me something about her. She said, her name is Sonia. Sonia. She's 9 years old. Her parents just dropped her off here last week because they're too poor to keep her, or they just didn't want her. We don't know. But she's brand new here, so she's kind of, you know, doesn't feel, you're not sure how she feels, you know. And I know now, the Lord just put a thought in my head to go over there and try to get her to dance with you, you know, have some fun. So I go over to little Sonia, and we can't speak. I can't speak her language, and she doesn't understand me. So I'm trying to get her to dance with me, you know, and she just, you know, nah, not like that. I don't want to. And so finally, I just kept, you know, after her and smiling at her and everything. And then she kind of made it clear that, you know, she didn't know how to dance. She didn't know how to dance. I said, oh, I got an idea. I said, come here, come here. I got one of her feet, and I put them on my top of my shoe and put the other one on the other top of my shoe. And I hugged her, and I just said, come on, come on. We're going to. And the music was going just perfect. It was just beautiful. And we were just, oh, my goodness. And it's just so sweet, you know. And I didn't think a whole bunch about it. I just, you know, loving on kids. And then she went back and went away. But that's what the Lord reminded me about on the plane when I asked him, what did you really like about this mission trip? And he said, I liked it when you danced with Sonia. And I thought, well, Lord, I wouldn't even have remembered that had you not said it. Why did you like that so much? And this is the thought that popped right in my head right away. He said, she's never going to have a daddy dance with her at a wedding. And I sent you there to dance with her. Now, God, wait a minute. No. You would send an American all the way from America to Honduras to a village when we preached in the prison. You'd send me there for that main purpose, just to dance with a little orphan girl? He's an extravagant God. That was more important than me preaching in the prison or all of us taking a team over there. And I never forgot that. God looks at things different. God's a very extravagant God. You remember when Israel was out in the desert? These are God's people. He loves them. He cares for them. They're complaining and whining and crying every time you turn around. But he still loves them. One day they say, you know, we're tired of this manna business. We eat manna for breakfast, manna for this, manna bread, manna that. We're tired of it. We want some meat. Now, you're out in the middle of the desert. I don't know if you ever noticed there's no Walmarts. And in a desert is not a place where quail live. There's over 1 million Israelites, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't a few hundred. Over 1 million. They're in a desert. God, in his mercy, says, hey, watch this. He sends probably between 2 to 5 million quail at their request to give them some meat to eat because they want some meat. They had more than they could eat. They had abundance. Are you listening to me? They had more than enough. God said to Israel while they're out in the desert, I'm bringing you out of a land of affliction into a land flowing with milk and honey. Jesus said, I've come that you might have a life that is flowing, flowing with the life of God, the milk and the honey. This generation died in the wilderness. They experienced miracles, signs, and wonders. And they died not experiencing the life that God intended for them to have. And God wrote this up several times in the Bible and said, this is in the Bible as an example to you. Put your finger in front of your face and say, are you listening? God is talking to you. He wants to bless you. And you need to let him. Now, okay, I know what you're thinking. Sometimes God gives us things, not for us, but so we can have something to give to somebody else. You're familiar with that. Sometimes God gives us money, not for us, but so we can have the joy of partnering with God and giving it to somebody else in answer to their prayers. You've experienced that. Just this week, I had a friend call me out of the blue, and he told me about a mutual acquaintance, and he said, this guy owes me $40, and he hasn't paid me, and every time I see him, he turns around and goes the other way. Well, my first thought is, why are you calling me? You want me to talk to him for you? Is that what you want? I ain't going to do that. None of my business. That's my first thought. And so I didn't think too much about it. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that, you know, and hung up. Well, that night I have a dream. And in the dream, early in the morning, I had this dream, and it was like the Lord showing me, I want you to go pay that $40, and I want you to tell that guy, don't tell the guy who owes you the money who paid it. Just tell him this is like God for you because God paid a debt for you that you could not pay. And in the same way, he wants you to think about salvation is like that. So I think, okay, next morning I think, wow, okay, was that really from God? I'm slow sometimes. I really am. God help me. God, is that really you or is that too much food? I don't know. Tell me. And so I go throughout the day, and it's still there. It won't let me go. So I called my wife. By the way, Pam, if you're watching by internet, I love you, honey. She's up in Tennessee with the grandkids. And if you're watching by internet, I love you. If you're not watching by internet, I still love you. Anyway, so I called my wife and asked. I told her about that. I said, what do you think? And she said, well, I think you ought to do it. All right, well, I had to go to the bank, get $40. And so I go by this place that I normally see this guy hanging out at another guy's place sometimes. And I pull up, and there he is, there's his truck. I pull up, and I get out, and he comes over to me. And I tell him the whole thing, and I give him the $40. And he says, no, I don't want that from you. I said, no, God told me to give it to you. He said, here, and told him what to do with it. And he says, man, I got goosebumps. He said, because I am never here in this place at this time of day, ever. And he had a friend over there. He asked him, he said, hey, Dave, am I ever here this time of day? Have I ever been? He said, no, you never. He said, well, I'm here today. Well, God, I said, God had you here. So take it and be blessed. Now, I'm saying this to you to try to get you to understand something that I'm understanding little by little. I want to show you another scripture. Bear with me. Don't check out. Don't clock out. Pay close attention. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Jesus says, he says, the measure you give will be measured to you. Now, I interpreted that wrong before. This week, God showed me exactly what he's talking about. God is saying here, what you're going to give was already predetermined by me so that you would give it. I have already measured out a certain amount that I'm going to have you give to this person, this cause, this church, whatever. I have already measured it out. The measure you give is because I've already measured it to you. I intend for you to give this. Are you listening, church? God has predetermined opportunities in our lifetime on earth to give or to help people or to give into a certain situation. He's already predetermined it. Now listen, look at this. And it goes on to say, next part, and to you who hear, more will be given. Whoa. That went off like a shotgun in my heart. I heard that. God is saying, in the rest of that verse, and to you who hear, are you hearing? Well, yes, Lord, we hear. Are you seeing? Well, yes, but we see men as trees. We're not seeing clearly. We're hearing, but we're not hearing clearly. What is it you're saying, God? What do you want us to do? And Jesus goes on to say, listen, he says, and to you who hear, more will be given. In other words, God will give you resources to be able to flow through you, to be able to bless, to be able to give. Now hold on a minute, because I've heard a lot of people talk this way. Hold on. Most people, including the church, especially the church, have a lottery mindset. Lottery mindset. Boy, it got quiet. I know I hit a nerve. Because you hear people say, well, if I won the lottery, I'd pay off the church. I'd help so-and-so here. I'd do this. I'd bless them. I'd pay. And I'd do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you got your own list. If I won the lottery, let me tell you something. That's not God's way. And I'll tell you why. God chooses rather to work through widows and orphans, the people who don't have it. The people who don't have it, Rudy. The people who don't have the means. He chooses to supernaturally work through widows and orphans. People who are dependent on God, not dependent on the lottery. Well, if I had the lottery, I'd do this. If I had a lottery, well, that's all good and well. And if you win the lottery, then you better do it. All of you who told me you're going to pay off the church, whatever, you know, I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to hear that. Not dependent on that. Widows and orphans, people who depend on God. Not literal widows and orphans necessarily, but people who are dependent upon God. And in my journal this week, I asked God to give me this revelation of abundance that He wants me to have in my life. And almost immediately, this scripture popped right there. It's Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us everything we need? Now the church says, oh, we hear that. Yeah, we believe that. Yeah, we see that, but it's kind of like men are like trees. We don't see clearly. We don't understand what the Lord... Lord, I need a second touch. I see some light bulbs going off. The one Himself who did not withhold or spare His own perfect Son, Jesus. But instead, He gave Him over. He delivered Him. He assigned Him a cross. He assigned Him the beating. He assigned Him the scourging. He took all the wrath of God at one time on the cross. He delivered Him up for us all. How could anybody dare point a finger at God and one who gave everything there is? He bankrupt heaven. And how could anybody point a finger at God and say, well, God, I don't know when You're going to bless me. I sure wish You'd open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on me. No. You need your eyes open because you're blind. You're hearing, but you ain't hearing. Isaiah said he preached to, God said to, Isaiah had this meeting up in the vision of God and the holy temple in Isaiah 6 and the Trinity starts talking among themselves. They're saying, now who shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah overhears a conversation between the Trinity and he volunteers. He says, well, Lord, I'll go. Whatever it is You need, I'll do it. After seeing Your glory and seeing what I'll do it. Not even knowing what the assignment is. And he said, well, what's the assignment? And then later on, he told him the assignment. The assignment is this. You're going to go and preach to a people who are not going to listen to you. Oh, they'll hear you and they'll say, oh, we love to hear your sermons. But they ain't going to do it. See, we see men as trees. I see, but I don't see clearly. Yeah, I hear. I don't really understand what that has to do with my life. Yeah? And that was a whole generation of people that died in the wilderness that would have said the same thing. They saw miracles, signs, and wonders. Look how God wants to bless you. Deuteronomy 1:11 just says this. You just read it on the screen. Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, God of our fathers, increase you 1,000 times more than you are. That was God telling you. This is what He wants to do. I want to increase your health 1,000 times more than it is right now. I want to increase your family 1,000 times more than it is now. I want to increase your finances 1,000 times more than it is now. I want to increase your ministry 1,000 times more than it is right now. I am a God of abundance, a God of extravagance. I don't want you just to settle. If you want to settle, call Morgan and Morgan. They're good at it. My wife preached a great sermon one time called Don't Settle. Whew. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't settle where you are. Please always talk to me and say, "Preacher, don't settle for where you are." I need people around me that tell me, "Don't settle. God's got so much more." You need people around you that don't, you don't need people around you telling you what you can't do. You need people around you telling you what God wants to do in your life. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't settle. It may look like an easy way out, but don't settle. Can you believe God really wants to bless us like that? I mean, you really got to question yourself. I found out I didn't believe it, and I settled. Well, I guess as good as it gets. I guess I got to be content with such things as I have. Okay. Praise God. I'm looking at a lot of people who are looking at me. Maybe you're asking yourself that same question. Have you settled? If you be honest, I think most of us have. We're not in the abundant life yet. But praise God, we're not totally blind. But we just see men as trees. There's more. You just got to be hungry enough to believe that. You got to believe God's an extravagant God. You think He's done with you? You think this is it? You think it's as good as it gets? You don't get blessed any more than that? You can't be used by God any more than what you've been? Your best days are behind you? You believe all that? Don't settle. 1,000 times more health, 1,000 times more peace, 1,000 times more joy, 1,000 times more love, 1,000 times more patience, 1,000 times more faithfulness, 1,000 times more goodness, 1,000 times more self-control, 1,000 times. That's what He says. Now, either that's true or He's just hyping us up. He wants to give you things money can't buy, as well as things money can buy. I'm going to ask you to join me in meditating on this message. Go back and replay it. Listen to it online. Go back and talk to God about it. Listen, I preach normally, if I go away vacation, maybe 2 weeks, a year time, but I preach, you know, 52 messages a year, and then another 50 or so Wednesday night teaching. There's no way you can get all that. I don't remember all of it. I go back and listen to some of the sermons sometimes, think, wow, that's pretty good. I wish I'd have been there. You can't remember all that. It'd be better to take one message that God is really speaking to you about and just saturate yourself in that one and go back and look at the scriptures and talk to God about it and say, now, how do I make application here? Rather than to go out here and then come back next week and look for the next sermon and the next one, the next one, the next one. You can't keep up with that. If we don't get this mentality straight today, I don't think there's any need to preach anymore. What's the purpose? We can preach to ourselves. Why continue just to give out new stuff every single week? If we're not going to get this one, it's like, what can you add to that? If the mind doesn't change, what can God give you? Would you stand to your feet? Thank you for your patience. I want to ask you to join me this week in meditating, talking to God about abundance for your life. God wants you to have abundance. But if you're not absolutely sold out, convinced of that, you've already settled. You're done. You walk out the door right now, or you know, walk out of here with a smile on your face. We'll never know. You've already settled. But you ought to talk to God about it. Now, God, what do you want for me? What's the abundant life you predetermined for me? Even this very day, there's probably people that God's going to cross your path with. He's already measured it out, predetermined for you to bless them, to help them. And all it's going to be is a little nudge. Most of the time, you don't know God's really leading you until after the fact, and you look back and go, oh, that really was God. So it's kind of risky. But God understands that. Now, I could go on. There's other things, but I'm not. I'm just going to pray with you and ask our altar workers to come up and join me right now. Altar workers, if you would. Musicians, if you're coming up or if you're playing music, that's fine. Just start. And don't turn me off just yet while we start the music. Just listen closely. God brought you here today knowing full well that at the beginning of last week, I had no idea what I was going to preach today. And yet he dropped it in my heart, something that he spoke to me back in January. He knew you would be here today. Is it possible that he's talking to somebody else besides the preacher? I mean, I'm fine if this is my therapy session and you're all here to watch me get therapy. That's okay. I need it. But I have an idea that he's using me in my life as also a sign and a wonder to you that he's talking to me, he's talking to me, and then through me, and he's talking to you. You ought to take that and run with it. You ought to grab it. And you ought to ask God today to give you the gift of repentance, a gift to be able to change your mind, because you can't do it on your own. God, help me to change my mind from a life of lack and settling to realize the abundance that you really want to give me. I'm telling you, that's going to take some radical change. That ain't going to be a one-time prayer at the altar and it's all over with. No, it's going to be a lifestyle of change for the rest of your life. It's very serious. So I would encourage you right now to come up here and grab one of these altar workers and say, please pray with me that I get this. And just go to the altar and say, now, God, help me get this. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. That's your business. But if you're hungry for the Lord and the things that God wants to do with your life and you want to finish well, you ought to be walking up here right now without, don't care if anybody else comes. I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care if I'm the only one. You ought to be up here and say, I need this. This was a message to me. Thank you, Lord. And if you're here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord, you can believe in him but never be saved. I believed in God for a long time before I got saved. I talked to a man yesterday who said, and he was using God's name in vain, but every half sentence, I didn't try to correct him. I just listened. And then I witnessed to him, talked to him. He said, oh, I'm a believer. Well, he might have been. I can't judge whether he was or not, but his language didn't show it. But when I witnessed to him and I shared with him, God had a lot better things for him than the way he's living. He's got a better life. And then the man told me some of the bad things that happened in his life. When he was born, his mom tried to kill him by feeding him Decon when he was a baby. He'd been through so much trauma. He started telling me one thing after another. No wonder he's hurting. No wonder he probably speaks foul language. He needs Jesus. Not just know about him, but to know him as a God of abundance, a redeemer, a helper. Bow with me, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word. You poured it out of me. I thank you. You poured it into me. Now help me to walk it out as a trophy of your grace. And I pray for anyone else that's in agreement, God, that they'll have the courage to say, Lord, help me remember this, review it, and apply it. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, let the church say, amen. Let God be continually magnified. Magnified by your words.